good morning. It's 9:07 at KBUR. Mikey J is across the castle, and so is Colin Letty. And we're talking about anything and everything that's on your mind. And we were talking earlier today that I was asking Colin about the fact that he played high school football in Milledgeville, Illinois. And I said, so how do you think those kids are feeling right now that are all getting ready for football in Milledgeville when Governor Pritzker comes down and says, now, oh, by the way, we're moving all of the fall sports to February to May, isn't it? February to May?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, we have so many, everything is uncertain. Every conference in college football is doing something. I mean, some are doing the same. But the contrast between Iowa State and Iowa couldn't be greater right now in terms of Big Ten, Big 12. The Big 12 is doing all of their games. At least they're on schedule to do all their games. Crowds at the games. Iowa State filled in the hole taken away by Iowa because the Big Ten commissioner banned all non-conference games. So Iowa State just filled in with Ball State, so now they've got a game. So they don't have any holes. They got their 12-game season all set up to go. Now, will they play or not? Will there be fans in the stands or not? Will there be, but each conference, every school, the conferences, it's all just total mishmash and chaos. I don't know. And we're sitting here, and I was telling Colin, I said, I'm trying to figure out exactly, because I went to Sherry to see, the Iowa High School, they said, they're moving to a 7-game season. Every team will be in the playoffs for Iowa, but every school has the option to opt in or out.
Yeah, so just like professional sports, this year just doesn't matter.
They have the option to opt
and
in.
And whoever wins is going to get a fat asterisk on that championship.
And whoever, and the fact is that we're going to see, and games 1 and 2 are optional. Okay, so how do you schedule games 1 and 2? I had the... I'm ready to just throw my hands up in.
Well, what I find very interesting is look at all the states that Iowa State's conference. Iowa State's in the Big 12.
Right.
Okay. Iowa is in the Big 10.
Oh, yeah. Look at the teams. Look where the
states
are. But
look at where the other ones are located, and it tells you a lot about why they're making that decision. Okay. You got Iowa State, Oklahoma, Texas Tech. Almost all the other teams that Iowa State plays are from the South.
Yeah.
They're from the central.
Where everything's surging.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's also from these states that don't want to abide by these rules.
Or Missouri, which plays in the Southeastern Conference.
These are all states that have pretty much said, it's not that big a deal. And these are the states where the coronavirus is running rampant too. So these are all the people that are making decisions, pretty much just assuming this is all going to go away while their states are running rampant with the virus.
The summer heat will kill it.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure it will. Yeah.
But as I showed Mikey J, we're one of the good counties, we are not in a yellow zone. We are not in the red zone. There is no parking in the white zone.
That's right. We're good. So Des Moines County's been pretty good. You know, we've only had a couple deaths,
and we've averaged no more than one positive case per day, one positive case a day over the entire length of the time that we have been since that thing changed and everything changed on the 17th of March. And we're a testing site, so you would expect that if there's any place that's going to get more stuff, you would think we'd be one of the places to be.
No.
But it's not.
Hopefully that means that most of the people here in our area are doing the right thing and are practicing their social distancing.
And they're using masks.
Yep.
I was at Hy-Vee, and I think I told you this. I was at Hy-Vee, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I was at Hy-Vee, and I went in, I had my mask on, and because I figured they were handing out masks. Monday was where they were. Yeah, it was Monday. We were handing out masks. So I walked in there, and I said, just about everybody that was in the store that I saw had masks on. And I get to the checkout, and there's like two people separated out. One has two that don't have masks on, and it's like, you know, they just sort of stood out like sore thumbs, you know. It's like, and I said, I asked the guy at the counter, and the manager was there, or the department manager was there, and I said, well, so is it, is this because you're handing out masks? I mean, do you see Hy-Vee making masks mandatory, as Target has done, and as, what is it, Menards has done,
Walmart.
And Kohl's? Walmart, apparently, they've kind of, I think, what, loosened up a little
they
bit.
They backed off
they
their
backed off,
initial
they?
Stance. Because they got a bunch of pressure from the anti-mask people, and I think Walmart just saw it as, just let them come in and do it. It's worse press for them to have people tackling people at the front door than it is to just have them come in the store.
That's what the Hy-Vee guy said to me. He said, we're in kind of a similar position. If we make masks mandatory, then we're in a position of having to enforce masks, and we can do everything we can to encourage, but to enforce masks puts us into a position of being the bad guy.
Well, I think as of right now, you know, I don't know corporate wide if the policy will stand, but at least, you know, the Hy-Vee's here in Burlington or in Des Moines County, you know, being in a county that is doing well and doesn't have that many cases, I would assume that they can probably just go along with what the regulations are right now. But if it turns out that the coronavirus amps up, you know, in this area, I wouldn't have a problem with them going with the mask-only policy. And I think people would understand it a lot more if there was a bigger outbreak.
I actually think, I actually kind of think that there should be a mandatory mask requirement here, just simply from the standpoint that, hey, if we're going to stay safe and if we're going to continue to stay safe, we should probably just do the right thing. They don't have mandatory mask requirements down at the farmer's market tonight, but they are strongly urging and encouraging masks, and also advising that social distancing must be a part of the thing. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, but I understand it's sort of like you don't want to be the bad guy, but you don't. I'm not sure if you're the bad guy or the guy that's, you know, if everybody's under the same boat, that's what I'm saying. If everybody's in the same boat, then you just get used to it, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's everything seemed, you know, like a hassle when it first started, but we've gotten fairly used to the social distancing. I haven't seen anyone complaining about, you know, separating a little bit more space in the lines.
No.
You know, the plexiglass things that they've put up at most businesses. You know, I think people have just accepted a lot of the things about it.
But here's the other thing is, what is strange is that, what did we have, at least at the Burlington School Board meeting on Monday night, what did they say? No masks, no mandatory mask requirement, right?
But strongly encouraged.
Burlington Notre Dame
have a mask requirement.
They do have a mask requirement. And so what is, and my wife is on the, you know, sort of like she is being, well, she is, they have not had official word, she has not had official word yet on what will or will not be, because I think they're still kind of like, there's such a degree of uncertainty that is still all out there in terms of what to do. They are looking at similar parallel type programming. If it does go to all online, it will be a much more, well, she said it'll be much more intense, which you'll have to be, preparation will be much more intense. But so far it appears, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. What appears doesn't necessarily be what it is.
Well, it's understandable why there's a lot of confusion regarding schools and stuff. It's because, really, they haven't had to schedule a school year in these kinds of conditions before.
No. And it's a little bit goes back to the I dare say Mitch McConnell. The Senate is one of their things in their bill, coronavirus bill, is basically to take away liability for schools having classes and suing the school for kids that might get coronavirus.
That's been a big point of contention with this bill.
And that's one of the things, and litigation is the biggest fear, And the one thing I'm not sure the teachers are in one. There's a group of teachers and unions and things like that. They're pretty much in many places very much upset because they think they should be, you know, they're afraid of getting the doggone thing. My wife is afraid of that too, but also knowing that
No school, no check.
You do what you do.
I'd understand their frustration, but what about every other industry that doesn't have a union fighting for them? What about all these retail workers that have had to work through
this entire thing
that don't have state paid benefits? There's so many more people that are in much worse positions than these teachers that have to deal with so many more people every single day.
And litigation. They're still in a position, I guess. But how would you prove that you got COVID at any particular store?
That's
right?
The only way that I see anyone being able to sue for getting COVID is if some organization blatantly didn't follow the laws when it comes, or just completely cross-contaminated. Some restaurant refused to wash their dishes and just reused them. Something like that. Something that just is a gross violation of what's supposed to be happening. I think that's the only way you would ever be able to sue over COVID because, like we've said before, it's so hard to prove where you got sick.
I know. But the thing is, I guess it is, tap dance your way, and I said that, well, she said yesterday, I have to be prepared for everything and anything, and I don't know. But I will be prepared for whatever they finally do decide. I think my own feeling is that getting the kids are going to be together, whether they're going to be in school or not, they might as well be in school, right? And do what the best you can to try to keep to be as safe as you can. But that's simply that. Doesn't that make sense? Does it?
But as we've seen, and we mentioned this morning, Governor Reynolds has issued her plan for Iowa, at least, that kids are going to be in school at least half of the time, and teachers are probably looking. Some teachers' unions are probably looking
it's
to sue the
some.
State.
That's the thing.
We also can't, fall out of our normal routine. The longer we wait of changing all these plans and not doing things the way we normally do them,
the harder it is to go back
to doing them the way we were doing them before. So by keeping things at least semi-normal with scheduling the school year, expecting kids to go to school, you know, it's some sort of framework that you could follow and plan your life around, you know, which, and so some parents aren't going to agree with it. Some parents are going to agree wholeheartedly. You know, every parent has a right to choose what they think is right for their kid. And, you know, if you think that this sending them to school is too dangerous, there are other alternatives there. But it's a weird thing. You're not going to win with every parent no matter what you do.
Well, the other thing is we know when the thing began, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
mm-hmm.
much. We really don't have any clue as to when it ends, do we?
We can plan, but, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry.
I think it's a little bit like the baseball season. I was just talking about the fact is, we talked about on Monday, the fact I watched a Dodgers-Giants game over the weekend, and it was like, okay, it just seemed like just watching a normal game because it had all the crowd noise in it.
Until you look closer.
Except for behind home plate, it was all cardboard cutouts. And that was the only thing that was not CGI. Everything else was computer-generated imaging from past games. And so they...
That is just sad.
And sound, it sounded. You'd hear the crowd roar. The home run, you see somebody catching the football.
That's only one network, too.
I know, it's the only network. But
it's
dumb. But the rest of them are just, it's rattling the ball just around.
And I can tell you why. It's because it's a gimmick, and Fox is just trying constantly to be different from the other networks.
Well, and I think it's so much better. Like, if you watched any of the NHL, the games that they've had.
I have.
They've done something very smart, and they followed right behind what a lot of the European soccer teams have done that aren't allowing fans. You cover the entire section of seats in a giant piece of fabric that says something. It's like a huge piece of vinyl.
NHL Stanley Cup playoffs,
this and that. And it makes them look like they're playing in, like, the American Gladiators Stadium. You know,
it looks like they're playing in a practice facility.
It looks very modern. It looks very clean.
It
and it doesn't distract you with hundreds of empty
seats. It also
seats.
Allows you to get new and unique camera angles that you couldn't get with a crowd.
I like the look of the way the NHL have done it. And if the baseball teams, you know, well, they should have gone to a bubble anyway. I bet they're already regretting not doing that.
There's a reason for that, though. It's because the regional markets are everything to the Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and I think the fact, well, what we also found out is that what happens if a bunch of you go out to dinner all together and you start signing autographs,
Florida Marlins,
especially when you're in Florida.
Well, I mean,
Miami Marlins.
I get that you say that the regional market is everything, but isn't that for every sport? You could say that for any sport. NHL alienated any team. Outside of Canada, with their bubble decision.
I'd say it's more important to baseball because in terms of popularity of the sport, baseball is pretty down low in America.
All right, so so what's going to happen in football?
They've been canceling things left and right. The preseason's done.
There's no preseason.
Nah, we don't need a preseason. We don't need it.
People would argue that.
Can the advertisers? Can the players and coaches?
Yeah. Because that's their chance to evaluate talent.
And the fans will have to wear masks, but how many fans are going to be?
I would say at most 50% capacity at every stadium.
I would guess that too, but I'm going to guess also.
As of right now, I would say at least for the first half of the season, I would say most stadiums aren't going to allow people.
That's what I would guess too.
That's also a fair assumption.
That's my guess. My guess is they're going to be operating on the same fear model, because fear model seems to be the better way to put it, at least in my way. And the fact is, the more fans you have, the more you have a chance of somebody.
And again, liability.
Liability. There you go. But again, liability. Can you prove? Okay. Well, you got COVID-19. Did you get it going to the Bears game, or did you get it going to a gas station?
When you're weighing risk like that, you got to protect your investment first, though. By bringing all those fans in, it might bring you a lot more money. But if you potentially get all the players sick by doing that, then your season's over and you can't make any more money. So it's this trade-off of, do we want to make sure the season happens, or do we want to make sure we make money off the people for the time that we can?
So it's a damned if you don't, damned if you do thing.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, yeah, but it's all about money.
Anyway,
the whole thing is about money.
It's always about money in terms of sports all over the world. It's 100% about money. Money is everything in the sports world.
Well, and where does all of the revenue for all of the sports at the University of Iowa, for instance, or Iowa State, or where does that generate? Where does all that come from? Where does that money come from to pay? What does it come from to pay Kirk Ferentz $6 million a year?
Advertising, ticket sales.
Yeah. Now he's taking a salary cut. He's taking a salary cut.
Television deals.
He's going to be. I think he's a 20% salary cut. So he's down to
something like that.
Yeah, he's down to like $5 million.
Yeah, but I mean, he makes a lot more money on other things though too.
But I think it's
like the players. They can take pay cuts fine because the bulk of the big stars anyway make much of their money off of endorsements.
Right, but it's. A lot of it is, a fan base in a town like Chicago, for instance, Chicago Bears fans not being able to go to Soldier Field to see the Bears is almost too hard to believe, frankly, isn't it?
It does seem strange.
But if it's the same for everybody else, I guess what? Now Fox will create a crowd, though. I'm going to bet that.
Oh, it's the same thing with baseball. Some stadiums are used to having no fans. LA Chargers.
Okay. It's just beyond belief. And I guess the fact is, what's going to happen? We really don't know. We just don't know. Now we're going to talk a little bit about one of the things that is also. We've got this stimulus package that's out there right now. We're talking about that as well. The House, Nancy Pelosi and the House, or Nancy Pelosi, I don't know if it's a House in general, but Nancy Pelosi is absolutely folding her arms and saying, we're not budging.
She is stamping her feet and pouting about it.
Meanwhile, Mitch McConnell is saying, look, we've got to come to an agreement. And the thing is, they've got these things hanging out there. Okay, all these people are losing. Their unemployment bonus is all ending this week. I believe tomorrow is the final.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the, tomorrow it ends. And so if they don't come up with anything, then if they don't come up with anything,
they're hosed.
They get nothing.
Yeah. With the plan that I've seen them throwing around right now, it would still be reduced significantly from the 600 to 200.
But it'd be something.
Yeah, but it's at least a little bit extra for the people that are out of work right now.
Maybe go. And if the House is saying, well, we're going to stick to the six and you guys got to go two, maybe you could settle at
like
three.
$350.
Or something like that. So the states can, so you can actually have.
And there was, we were talking about this being held up for so long. You brought up a great point on this. There's one factor that could sway this to be becoming finished quickly. That being, there's an election coming up.
And every single
member. And nobody wants to look like the bad guy.
For the Senate, it's not quite so severe because they're only have a third of them up at any given time.
Everybody in the House is up.
Every single person, including Nancy Pelosi, is up for reelection. And if you are the, if you're the ones who's sitting on your hands and not letting these people,
you're going to look like the bad guy.
Not letting them get unemployment. Not letting them get the 12. I think the fact is that they got the $1,200. Okay. Now,
people will speak with their ballots.
Once you wave that in front of people and then say, no, you're not going to be getting it because we stuck to our guns. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to say, okay, we've got an idea what to do with our guns.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, I mean, speaking of the election, did you see what Donald Trump proposed?
Proposing delaying the election.
Which he can't do.
Well, he doesn't have the power to do it, but the Congress has power to.
He can't do.
Yeah. He just floated it out there. It's not something that's actually being thought up at the moment, you know, in Congress.
This was a tweet.
Yeah, but he... he put the idea out there of delaying the election, which I'm not entirely against. The fact that we've missed out on the DNC, I think Donald Trump says he's going to accept the RNC's nomination at the White House, and they're not going to actually hold a convention now.
That's because it was supposed to be in Florida, wasn't it?
What has not changed in our lives?
But
I mean, you and me, and we're actually the,
you know, three
of us. When you add it up, all we're one. The three of us are in a are actually we've all been coming to work.
Not much has changed for us.
Not much has changed, at least in terms of our day to day lives, has it? I'm still riding my bike. I'm still, you know, I did have, now other than the fact that I had RAGBRAI canceled, the bike races canceled, European vacation canceled. Other than that,
well, one thing I haven't seen in the news the last month, anything about Joe Biden. Have you seen anything?
Yeah, he kind of disappeared, didn't he?
He's taken a back seat. Yeah. I feel like they're hiding him. They're hiding him in a closet until Election Day.
Until at least
September.
And then
they're just going to pop him out. Well, yeah. I think they realize.
What are they going to do with the debates?
The more he was on television, the worse he looked.
And the less you talk, the better you are.
Yeah, I think they're just hoping that Trump, I mean, they're doing the opposite of Hillary, they're just going to shut up this whole time and let Trump stick his foot in his mouth, I guess, is their strategy. I don't know.
They're letting him dig his own grave.
All right, 754. We'll see. Hey, we're going to take a break for news. We'll be back right after this.
All right, everybody. It's Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
I don't really see the argument for why we need NFL preseason games at all, period. Even when there was no coronavirus, sitting here speaking as an NFL season ticket holder, I've always found it ridiculous that I have to pay full price for two games that I can't even give the tickets away for.
It's Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 8 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ. But it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
Oh, hi. Okay. Guess we should talk about something. Kind of tough to be put on the spot. Not sure what to say. But I know what I'm definitely not talking about. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big!
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Steffes Group is excited to be involved in the Des Moines County Fair Livestock Auctions. Since you can't go to the livestock auction, we are bringing the auction to you. All fees are covered by Steffes Group. There will be no cost to the buyers or the sellers. Please visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com. Help us by showing your support to our local exhibitors. Go to steffesgroup.com to bid and buy. The Des Moines County auction starts closing on August 3rd.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Congressman Dave Loebsack announced on Wednesday that the Burlington Fire Department and the Houghton Fire Department both received grants from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security as part of their Assistance to Firefighters grant program. The AFG program allows first responders to purchase firefighting equipment, implement wellness programs that focus on health, and improve facilities. Funds can be used for many different needs, including new protective equipment, health and safety modifications to stations, and training for emergency personnel. The Henderson County Sheriff's Office has announced the arrest of a Fort Madison man on drug possession charges. According to a news release, on Tuesday, a Henderson County deputy was on patrol on U.S. Route 34 near Biggsville and initiated a traffic stop. The stop led to the arrest of 43-year-old Kevin Crabtree of Fort Madison. After a search of Crabtree's vehicle, the deputy located methamphetamine and arrested Crabtree. He is being held at the Henderson County Jail awaiting his next court appearance. The Iowa Department of Education says it will rule next week on appeals filed by districts opposed to fully opening schools to in-person classes when the new school year begins in the coming weeks. Earlier this month, Governor Reynolds overruled school districts that wanted to hold online classes. She instead is requiring students to spend at least half of their education time in the classrooms this upcoming school year, even as the state's coronavirus cases have surged this summer. News of the upcoming ruling came as the state's online virus tracker shows 9 more COVID-19 deaths and more than 450 new cases confirmed on Wednesday from the day before. The Iowa Board of Regents has approved $65.4 million in cuts to the state's public universities in the latest blow to their budgets. The Des Moines Register reports that the board unanimously approved a $1.5 billion general operating budget for the schools Tuesday afternoon that includes $727.9 million for the University of Iowa, $629.9 million for Iowa State University, and $170 million for the University of Northern Iowa. The reductions are on top of an $8 million cut in state funding approved by the legislature last month. From the KBUR newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump on Twitter suggests delaying the election over his concerns about mail-in voter fraud and the coronavirus outbreak keeping people from voting in person. Congress sets the election date and inauguration days in the Constitution. The outbreak's taking away more jobs.
Another 1.4 million people filed for unemployment benefits for the first time last week, bringing the total of unemployed Americans to 17 million. It comes a day before the $600 boost in unemployment payments is set to end. The U.S. economy shrank at a dizzying 33% annual rate in the April to June quarter, the largest GDP drop in U.S. history on record.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. A mission to Mars.
Go Atlas. Go Centaur. Go Mars 2020.
NASA launches its Perseverance Mars rover from Florida. It's a 7-month trip. The plans to return to Earth in 2031 with rock samples to be analyzed for any evidence of past life. America's listening to Fox News.
The weather outside is beautiful. And that means it's patio season. It's time for sun, fun, and exceptional food and drinks. Only at Kelly O'Shea's. Dine in for fresh summer delights, or use their carry-out and curbside pickup options available on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays to keep you warm and happy during the day's end. Check out their menu at Kelly O'Shea's Pub's Facebook page to see what's to offer. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of occasional showers and a possible thunderstorm at a high today 80, a northeast wind at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of a shower mainly before 8 p.m., then gradually becoming partly cloudy. Mostly sunny Friday, high at 81, partly cloudy Friday night, low to 62. Mostly sunny Saturday, a high of 83. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a 40% chance of showers after 2 p.m., a high to 81. Right now, we've got mostly cloudy skies, few sprinkles. It's still 73.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. The U.S. economy shrank by a record, nearly 33% in the so-called COVID quarter, the second quarter. Stocks are falling on Wall Street in morning trading. This and a tweet from President Trump seeming to suggest delaying the election has investors worried. Republicans and Democrats reportedly remain far apart on a new relief bill. This is the last week that more than 30 million out-of-work Americans get that extra $600 weekly payment. Nearly 1.5 million more Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week as companies continue to shed people and economies shut down because the virus is raging. California has just reported its fourth record death day this month. Florida is not far behind. Dunkin' says it'll close more than 200 stores globally. Little growth this morning. Consumer companies reported higher sales in the quarter. Kellogg, Kraft Heinz, and Procter & Gamble, all three raised prices. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
If consistent weekly income, sleeping like a baby during these crazy markets, and only spending 20 minutes a week at your computer is your thing, well, it's time you discovered the Money Press. Hi, it's Preston James. You see, the Money Press uses the new weekly options and market forces already taking place to create your very own growth and income printing press. Check out the real proof from my real brokerage account. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll be able to watch a 7-minute video detailing how it's done. The best part is you can start small and go at your own pace. If making an extra $3,000 to $5,000 per month has prevented you from being able to retire, you definitely need to know about the Money Press. Even if you've been frustrated and unlucky in the past, let me prove it to you now. Go to paycheckproof.com to see the video. That's paycheckproof.com. Now, you won't find any photos of rented private jets or any talk about day trading penny stocks. Just the real proof. See you at paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
Now you can get quality health care in the safety of your home from providers you know and trust. Great River Medical Center and Fort Madison Community Hospital are offering telehealth visits for their patients. You can use a smartphone, tablet, or conventional telephone. Call the clinic of your choice to make an appointment and get started. For complete information, including downloading the app if you need it, visit fmchosp.com or greatriverhealth.org. Choose telehealth to reduce your risk of exposure to illness. Your health counts.
Welcome back on the talk show today. Mikey J, Colin Letty, Steve Hexum, all with you. We're talking about everything and everything, anything. And we were talking about the fact is that we have this this disagreement that is going on between the, you know, this sort of the Republicans have their plan in the Senate. The Senate Republicans have their plan, and the Democrats under Democratic, you know, Speaker Pelosi have their plan, trillions of dollars apart, but that the fact is the election is coming up.
There's a change in the weather.
Oh, it's horrible out here.
And, oops, and we've got somebody on the phone right now. Good morning. Who do we have with us?
Yeah, this is somebody, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Would discarded masks be considered contaminated medical waste?
No.
And the reason I'm asking, I was down at Hy-Vee today, and I seen three of them in the parking lot and two of them laying out in the street. And if these things have been contaminated with the virus, would you think they'd want to be disposed of properly by being burnt instead of just discarding them like it would a cigarette?
I would think that, the fact is they are, I don't think they'd have to be treated with the fact is, you know, in other words, because I don't think... Actually, the contact, hand-to-hand contact on this thing does not seem to be the way things. It's like, otherwise, you'd be dealing with the fruit and all of the other things at Hy-Vee. Anything you pick up would be potentially. And so I would say masks, if they've been sitting out there in the parking lot, no. You can pick them up. I might not want to pick. I might sweep them up and put them into a dustpan or something like that.
I don't believe medically that saliva is usually considered like a hazardous medical, like a bodily fluid that you have to, use a biohazard sort of container for.
Because now I'm starting to see these things discarded.
Well, they're handing out and
yeah, I mean, well, they should be thrown away. Like, yeah. Those people are lazy and gross. They shouldn't be doing
that.
They
are handing out. Now, they're doing the same thing. Now, at Target officially on Saturday, starting actually, this day after tomorrow, Target officially begins a mandatory mask requirement. Now, if you do not have a mask, they will hand you one before you come in the door. And Menards, I believe, is doing. Menards is charging $1 for their mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, they've already started their mask program.
I don't know what Kohl's is doing. Do you know what Kohl's is doing?
Kohl's is requiring a mask.
Are they charging you for a mask if you don't have one?
I don't think they're giving out masks.
Or just saying no, you can't come in.
I think they're just saying you can't come in without one.
Okay.
Okay. That was just a question. And then the other question is, and I guess that congressmen and the senators make sure that they get their paycheck every month, whether the people who are out of work don't get them. But my thing is I've had people say, why should I work? I make more money unemployed now than I did when I was working.
I have a problem. I have a certain problem with that, but I also say, but I'm not, how long are they going to, this thing's, hey, the gravy train's got to come to an end sometime. I think they're better off doing a gradual withdrawal of this thing, don't you?
Yeah.
Is it fair? You get up in the morning, you go to work at a certain time period, you come home. You can get out of that habit real easy. If somebody's sending you a check in the mail and you don't have to worry about getting up out of bed in the morning to go to work.
I think you're right. I think I think in every single program that we've got based on trying to make this thing work, there are those who are abusing the situation, and there are those who are but there's always been people who will try to stay on unemployment if they can stay there. I'll apply. I've got to apply once or twice a week, but I'll put down. I'll go visit some place that I know I can't get hired at, so I go there, and that's been done. But this is like that on steroids.
With nearly anything that you can hand out money with, there's going to be people that try to cheat the system.
Exactly,
and even if there's laws against it, like our tax system, there's people that cheat on their taxes all the time. Yeah, and
you don't say
with that. But trying to characterize it as a bad thing that we're giving this money out, because some people are taking advantage of it, isn't good. Because overall, it's doing more good than bad. I think there's far more people that are benefiting from this that need it than there's people taking advantage of the system. And that's the way that it's the same argument against welfare. People say that there's people on welfare and it discourages them not to get a job. But all the studies have shown that it's only like 1% of people. So if it's helping 99% of people and the 1% is taking advantage of it, You kind of just have to ignore that 1%.
Jack, the other thing is that I look at it from a standpoint. I know we're in Iowa. Cost of living is considerably lower here. If you're in California, that $600 is going to go a whole lot less in California or New York or Oregon. Gee, where all of the...
Or Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's like all
of Arizona.
All of those things where the thing is surging. I
guess you'd say it's relative to where you live at.
Yeah, yep. I would agree.
Mm-hmm. I think Jack, the thing is, because I think there is a certain amount of saying, okay, you need to have this thing gradually fade, and I think you bring it down. I think you basically cut it in half. I think I'd say, okay, 200. You said 350. Well, I don't know. I'm going to say that maybe that's in the half or just a three. Some way to transition, but get right now they're going to have the state have to compute all of these things,
figure it out.
That makes no sense to me. I think you keep the thing going at least for a while, but you do if you modify. do what you have to do to get the House and the Senate to agree on something and then have it fade away. That's basically what I would say.
Well, one last thing. Maybe you should run for political office. You've got some common sense.
Common,
I'll leave it at that.
Hey,
Thank you.
Common sense is not common, Jack, okay? All right, take care. All right. But that's it. I think that's it. If they don't, I think we said it before, if they can't come to an agreement, every single House Representatives member is up for re-election. And
people will speak with their ballot.
And they will speak with their ballots. And they, if I'm in the House, I don't want to have the knowledge that because my speaker sat on her hands.
And by no means is it everybody in the House.
No, it isn't. But I think there is. It's fine.
It's the loudest voices that make the decision.
Because they were unable to find a way to meet in the middle or to meet in some compromise. And to be able to take it.
Everybody wants it one way or the other.
You can't have it. You can't have it all. You got to take what you can get, and you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Well, the latest, I guess you'd call it conspiracy theory. Because it's pretty far fetched. But they say that the Democrats don't want a compromise. They don't want this to go through, and they want Trump to look like he's not handling the virus very well, because that is their strategy.
Well, that really doesn't work
going into November.
Sorry, that really doesn't work, because it's just making them look worse.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Because if they're sitting on their hands,
it's
their
fault.
Yeah, they're just as far to blame. You know.
All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Who do we have with us today?
Hey, this is Dean. I'll try to time late, but I try to make this real brief. Basically, about the schools, okay, this is what I would do. I don't know if any of you are religious or not, but what I would do, I'll put my kids in a circle. I would pray that the Lord Jesus Christ put anointing Holy Spirit, blood of Jesus Christ on them, and the shield around them, protect them in the school, because you can't, if you try to do that at school, you go to jail, and it's unconstitutional, period. About what Trump just said, I am a Trump supporter, but sometimes I'll put this right. I wish sometimes he would just shut his mouth and not tweet.
Really?
Period.
Okay.
Because we had election during the Civil War. We had election during World War I. We had election during World War II. It's the people who put the... It's supposed to be me and the people, both these people in... But anymore, it's not that way. But that's the way it should be. As I said before, sometimes I disagree with Trump, and sometimes I agree with the Republican Party. But I just think that he never should have said that in the first place.
Well, you know what? I think you are in agreement. I think we'll all agree with you this time, Dean. How about that? And I'm going to let you go, okay?
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. All right. All right. See, how about that? Stop tweeting so much, and who's blaming who? I think the fact is, and you just said it before we went to this. Hey, this stimulus thing, if it goes away completely,
in what way is it Trump's fault?
It's not Trump's fault. It's going to be Nancy Pelosi who's going to bear the
burden. No, I mean,
not just her.
They're not going to bear what.
And anybody,
it's not that they're going to blame the lack of the stimulus thing on Trump. They're going to blame the overall coronavirus handling.
I know.
That this is just one piece of the puzzle.
I know.
Don't have enough money to pay their bills, and so they're going to need somewhere to take their anger out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to point at the guy in charge.
Scapegoating.
Yeah.
But it is 100% scapegoating.
There'll be a lot of scapegoating that'll be going on. I think that's a guarantee. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Day in, day out, Iowa farmers work hard, and they deserve a senator who works as hard as they do. Senator Ernst claims she supports our ethanol industry.
I have been engaged in this, like I said, for at least a decade.
But she's taken millions from corporate PACs, including big oil companies trying to undermine ethanol. Now we learn that while Ernst has been talking tough on ethanol, she took big campaign contributions from an oil company CEO seeking RFS waivers. So it's no wonder that Ernst voted to put one of their own, a fossil fuel lobbyist, in charge of the EPA, even though he promised to continue approving RFS waivers. And sure enough, he devastated our ethanol industry. We need a senator who puts Iowa first.
I'm Teresa Greenfield, and I don't take a dime of corporate PAC money.
because we need a senator who works for Iowa. I'm Teresa Greenfield, running for Senate, and I approve this message. Paid for by Teresa Greenfield for Iowa.
Big wheels are a-turning at Catfish Bend Casino's $250,000 cash big wheel promotion. Earn entries with every 50 points earned and 5 times entries on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. 5 lucky winners will be drawn each Saturday at 7 and 9 p.m. to spin the big wheel. Land on the Catfish Bend logo 3 times and win $250,000 cash. Or receive the value of all 3 spins in free play. See player services for full details. This month, receive a $10 Hy-Vee gas card each Monday by earning 250 points. Come out and play and live lucky at Catfish Bend Casino.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
The president is vowing to do his part. He's begging these mayors and these governors. He'll offer the help to restore order, law and order, to keep residents safe and secure. They keep rejecting it. As a result, you know, we just keep seeing the violence spiral out of control because criminals know they're going to get away with it. The president's right, saying the bloodshed, the violence has got to end. We know how to end it.
Sean Hannity, afternoons from 2 to 5 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. Mikey J, Colin Letty across the console. We're talking about anything and everything. And what we mostly know is that we, the more we know, the less we know. We don't have any real, we've got most everything in our lives has been, well, as I said, we know what we're doing when we're all coming to work regularly. I guess we could consider ourselves blessed at least, or at least lucky to have that. And we also, but as far as any of the external things in our lives, sports in general, they're going on, some of them under the bubble, and yep. the bubble ones seem to be all functioning pretty smoothly.
For the most part, yeah.
The non-bubble ones, well, baseball's the first non-bubble one, but they are operating with no fans. So we'll see how this...
And really only one team has seen any problems so far.
Only one team has...
So far.
I guess if that spreads or whatever, watch out, then the season's over as far as I think so. Anyway, all right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Who do we have with us?
Joe.
Hey, Jim, what's on your mind?
Hey, so I'm not quite sure how the $600 a week... If the people, do they not get unemployment with that?
No, they get their unemployment plus that.
It's a bonus.
It's a bonus.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, I know, you know, of course, I've heard a lot of people are doing better than they were working. And I heard, listened to a senator speaking from Oklahoma that some of the people were doing up to 150% of their unemployment. On, you know what I mean? They were making way above their unemployment. And, of course, he was speaking about the unemployment system was never meant to pay people above what they're making, but a lesser amount, you know.
Yeah, they pulled some of this money out of some of the other social programs, like Social Security and things like that, to help cover the cost.
Oh, my gosh. They pulled it out of Social Security, which is already not in the best of shape.
No, and I think that's one of the reasons why the payroll tax was basically discarded, or ending the payroll tax was discarded as using or not using the payroll tax, because obviously it was just all going to come out of Social Security and Medicare. I think the reality is that you need to kind of what? Bring these people back down. I mean, I think my own guess is if I was going to do it, keep them, okay, rather than chop it off right now, have them agree, have the House and Senate agree, let's make it 300, and then it's for a period of time, then it ends. So all good things have to come to an end, but I think the fact is you're right. Having, in particularly here in Iowa, $600 a week on top of your unemployment. Yes, that's going to be it's going to give you very little incentive to really look hard to get a job, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, if 90% of the state's employed, I feel like it's there's plenty of money to go around.
I understand.
When the majority, luckily for us, the unemployment rates were at a record low when this whole thing happened. A lot of people were out there working, and so a good chunk did lose their jobs. But many of those jobs were extra jobs that had been created because the economy was doing so good. So, yes, I mean, it, it's not these people. I'm sure they're going to say it's nice to get this money. I'm sure it's helping them through. You know, anything to help ease this the burden that this whole thing has created, I think is good. And if everyone gets an extra couple hundred bucks, I'd rather see that than everyone starving. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even know why they'd ever would have voted in $600 on top of the unemployment.
They did that because they had so many people that were going to be, and they wanted to make sure that there was no that those people had money in their pockets and would be able to continue to at least move on. But the idea was it was not designed to last forever, it was designed to be a bonus type of situation to keep them going.
And for a lot of people, unemployment isn't the entire amount you normally make. Your unemployment check is not going to be what your normal paycheck was. It's going to be a reduced amount.
Typically about 40 to 50% of that. Yeah.
So yep. This extra money was meant to kind of make up for that. So it was like you had a full paycheck. Here in Iowa and here in the Midwest, that money goes a lot further than it does in a place like California where it won't even cover your rent payment for the month.
Yeah, I think that's really the idea, Jim. Hey, we're going to have to – we got to let you go, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Anyway, it is – there's so many things that remain so uncertain, and I don't know trying to figure out what is or is not going to happen is like predicting the future right now.
Nobody can do it.
The virus is impossible to predict. We can only hope that we can find a virus or a vaccine,
or at the very least some kind of treatment,
and a very effective treatment. It does seem to be, in general, the COVID varieties that are out there seem to be milder, and we seem to be in a better position here in Des Moines County than in a lot of other places. We're not in Florida, we're not in California, we're not in Texas. And I think that's a good place to not be.
That's right.
Have a great day. Robin Johnson's on tomorrow on The Talk Show.